Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Now see, this is really contrary to most religious people today because they say, no way, you can't tell me that a person who just went out and committed adultery and was on their way driving home from committing adultery, if they have a car wreck and if they didn't have time to repent and get that thing confessed and under the blood and if they die, you can't tell me that a person that had just committed adultery and hadn't repented of it could go to heaven. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. See, most people, I just can't see how God could let something like that happen. Well, let me use this scripture. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you become guilty of all. See, a person who believes that you lose your salvation because of sin, they will have to admit, you know, if you ask them, so are you saying that you're perfect, that you never sin? Oh, no, I sin. You know, do you love your wife the way that Christ loves the church? That's what we were commanded to do. Do you reverence your husband the way that the church is supposed to reverence Christ? Everybody will have to say, well, no, I'm not perfect. I don't do everything right. I don't study as much as I should. I don't pray. But those are little sins. You can get by with little sins. But big sins like adultery or lying or stealing, if you were to do those and didn't get them confessed and if you died, you'd go to hell. Again, the Bible says if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you become guilty of all. If you believe that committing adultery and not getting it confessed would send you to hell after you got born again, then also being angry would do the same thing. Also being jealous. Also being covetous. Some of the way that y'all think about me right now because of the things I'm teaching would send you to hell. If you aren't perfect in every single way, if you aren't doing everything just right, the principle is that if you think sin is going to send you to hell, well then which sin is it? You have to categorize them and say some sins are acceptable and other sins are unacceptable. There are no acceptable sins. If you're going to believe that you lose your salvation every time you sin, then you're going to be a mess. Because your heart is always going to condemn you. You never are matching up. The truth is that all of your sin, past, present, and future, has been taken care of. But you are saved by faith. Faith in what Jesus did. And if you ever renounce your faith, if you ever reject your faith in God, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. You can't be born again again. As a matter of fact, are you still in Hebrews? I was over in Corinthians. Look back in Hebrews chapter 10. These verses that we've been using, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 24. In verse 25, it says, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. This is the same thing that was said in verse 18. It says, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. We've already talked about that. It repeats it in verse 25, that there is no more sacrifice for sins. Now, let me clarify something before I go on, because some people stumble and say, well, man, sin willfully. I've sinned willfully. Every sin, there are some sins, I guess, that are mistakes. You don't know that you're supposed to do something, and so you sin by omission. But most sins that people do are by commission. You know it's wrong. You know you aren't supposed to eat your fourth dessert. God's already dealt with you about you being the temple of God, and yet you go ahead and do it, and you knew it. Some people say, oh, I can't help it. I just gain weight and I don't even try. It just happens. I just look at food and gain weight. That's not true. Everything that you ate, you willfully put it in there. Nobody has spoon-fed you since you were a little kid. You chose to do it. And many of us sin in the way that we eat. Many of us sin with the habits that we have, smoking or drinking or gossiping are watching things that we know that we shouldn't watch, and you know you shouldn't do it. There is a willful attitude to just about every sin. But this, I don't believe, is talking about that kind of thing. As you go on, and we'll put it in context with the next few verses, this is talking about a deliberate hatred for God and a total turning away from God. And the rest of these verses will make that very clear. And so in verse 26 again, it says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Of how much sore punishment. You know, before I go on, let me just say that this leaves the impression that if you didn't obey everything Moses said, you just died. Well, that's not true. There's lots of people that disobeyed Moses, and there were things in the law that if you disobeyed, you could come and offer a sacrifice and receive cleansing for it and stuff. This is a generalization, and it's just talking about that people who totally rejected Moses. Specifically, there are some examples like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram in the 16th chapter of the book of Numbers. They came out and challenged his authority and said, "Who made you ruler over us? You speak too highly of yourself. We're also Levites. We want to run the congregation." And so God told them to come out and put coals in a censer and bring their offering and let God choose which one that would truly represent him. Aaron and Moses are Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And the next day when they were supposed to be there, they didn't even show up. They snubbed Moses, and Moses sent for him, and they said, "You aren't our Lord. You can't tell us what to do. We aren't even going to show up." And boy, Moses lost it. And he stood up and he said, "If these people die a natural death, then you'll know that I'm not a true prophet of God. But if something brand new, supernatural happens, and if the earth opens up and swallows them alive into the pit, then you'll know that I'm God's prophet." And immediately the earth opened up and swallowed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and 250 men that rebelled with them into the earth. And then it closed upon them. That's pretty good judgment. But did you know that Moses' sister and brother basically did the exact same thing in Numbers chapter 13? They criticized Moses because he had married a black woman, an interracial marriage. And they said, "Man, this disqualifies you. You can't be our leader. We're going to take over leadership." And boy, God got upset and struck Miriam with leprosy. But Miriam repented, and God took the leprosy away from her, and Moses retained his leadership. So not every single person who rebelled at Moses was killed. That's not what this is saying. This is just saying that there were people who totally rejected. Miriam and Aaron challenged Moses, but when God showed his will, they repented and turned from this, and Miriam begged for forgiveness. So this isn't talking about that just every sin, no more than any person who sins willfully. This is talking about those who just totally reject God is what this is talking about. And in verse 29, it says, "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God." Now notice the terminology, "who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God." Now, every person in here who's already born again and has sinned since you've been born again, there was a willful element to that. You knew you were wrong, and yet you went ahead and did something. But does that mean that you trod underfoot the Son of God? Was that the attitude that you had? And go look at what else it says. "And have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing." Every person in here, myself included, has sinned willfully and done things wrong that you knew you weren't supposed to do. But does that mean that you counted, you just trod underfoot Jesus, that you counted the blood of Jesus no different than anybody else's blood, and you disesteemed him and rejected him? And the next thing it says, "and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace." If you look the word despite up, the word despite means hatred, intent to hurt. This is describing a person who not just knowingly sinned, but a person who just totally rejected their salvation. A person who knows what they're doing and just does it anyway. For whatever reason, they turned against God and they hate Him. This isn't talking about a person who sins through weakness or through humanity and therefore loses their salvation. You can't sin your salvation away because all sins have been paid for, but you can renounce your salvation. You could turn away from God and totally reject Him. And if you will look at every passage, I hadn't got time tonight to list every time in Scripture that it talks about hold fast the profession of your faith. We just read that up here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, I believe it is. Hold fast the profession of your faith. The reason it's telling you to do that is because you were saved by faith in what Jesus did. And if you ever renounce your faith in Jesus and reject Him and count the blood of the covenant an unholy thing and do despite under the Spirit of grace, just hate God and want out, God will let you out. It says in, I forget exactly what chapter this is, I think it's John chapter 10, Jesus said that God, my Father that gave you to me is greater than any man, and no man is able to pluck you out of my hand. And people will often use that to say, see, once you're saved, you can't ever get unsaved. But it says no man can pluck you out. It didn't say that God will force you to stay in there. You've got a free will. You can renounce your salvation. And therefore, it's important that you continue to seek God so that Satan doesn't harden your heart and bring you to a place of total rejection and renouncing of your salvation. Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 6, and here's a passage that amplifies on this. If you'll remember, I was teaching on this in Hebrews chapter 5. The writer began to talk about Melchizedek and start making the point that Jesus was a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And he was going to say that since the priesthood is changed, the law has to be changed. That's the reason we're under a new covenant. The old covenant wouldn't work. But in the midst of saying this, towards the end of the fifth chapter, he said in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And so basically what he's saying is, I want to say these other things, but you can't bear it because you're too carnal. And he starts rebuking them. And one of the rebukes that he makes in Hebrews chapter 6 is, let's go on into maturity. Quit just hanging around the front door of salvation.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a five-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK156 titled Nagging Questions when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Today, I'd like to encourage you to become a partner with this ministry and help us spread this good news. You know, there are many of you who do partner with us, and I want to thank you. We now are reaching over 2 billion people, potential, around the world. And it's only our partners that have enabled us to do that. But there is so much more that we want to do. There's so many people that haven't yet heard this good news. If this has been a blessing to you, if you see the benefit of this and understand how this could help other people, then I ask you to become a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem. Help us financially on a monthly basis to be able to reach out. We have partnerships available, a lot of information. If you'll call, you can inquire about that and become a partner with us today.